Hello, everybody. Welcome to Guilt by Association Football, Episode 9. I'm joined by Rob Moyer and Ryan McCauley, who is on the mend.
I am on the mend,
to say the least. He is one leg functioning at the moment.
And I'm quite drugged up.
If he was to trip and fall, he'd land on Mars right now.
Oh, yeah.
That high.
Oh, yeah. Balls deep in Mars.
So if there's any podcast to listen to, it might be the one that we're going to embark on right now. So here we go. Honduras recap thoughts.
Well, my thoughts are very hazy because
because they're very vague.
Because I was definitely on massive painkillers. So I'm going to let you guys talk for a while.
Well, for me, it was Dempsey being completely invisible until he scored the goal, and then just taking over the game.
Ben and I were talking about how Dempsey disappears because he's just so sick of playing with guys who aren't as good as he is.
Right.
He had a few passes that didn't work out, like the one
Dempsey is the most American un-American player.
The one attack that led to the Dempsey dummy at the top of the box was one of the nicest attacks I've ever seen the U.S. national team have. It was
quality.
Yes, and we didn't score a goal out of it.
I also think that Breck Shea is going to get a bad rap because of his horrible, horrible sitter miss.
That's pretty bad.
Besides that, though, he played well.
He played very well.
Breck played very well and then kicked the ball into the ground, which you don't score goals
if his foot moves in a positive direction. That ball goes in. That's a goal.
So while I was at the pub watching the match, me and a few of my buddies were talking, and we weren't that impressed with Maurice Adoo. It wasn't to say that he was awful.
We thought
he was okay. And upon looking at the ESPN player rankings, he got the highest rating on the team.
What?
Yes.
That's bull.
7.5.
For what? What did he do that was noteworthy?
They really just said that it was his best cap as a U.S. men's national team.
Really
player.
Was not all that
who
impressed
wrote this?
With Adoo. Yeah, who wrote it?
I do not remember. It was somebody
was
on
it
the
SoccerNet?
ESPN.
Was it SoccerNet? Not trustworthy.
Because Carlisle gave him a 5.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought I read the one from Carlisle, and it was far from glowing.
Actually, it might have been on the MLS site.
If it was Seltzer, then we have more to talk about, but
like what game was Greg watching?
Greg did do a phenomenal, very, very in-depth, almost like a lesson on the 4-3-3 as the Dutch played and then how to apply it to the U.S. national team. That was pretty interesting.
Also optimistic about Danny Williams.
Danny Williams was good. I thought he was a little out of position on the right-hand side. I mean, he was still serviceable, and he still played well.
I had never seen him play before, but I hear his natural position's right back.
Yes. His natural position is center mid or defending midfielder,
midfielder.
Okay.
I believe, is the case.
But we don't have enough of those.
He has played right back and even left back on the occasion, and we'll get into other options at left back in our uncapped 23. Which should be fairly interesting.
Oh boy!
I liked Williams though. Williams was nice. He was a good. He was.
He had
solid.
The one miss where he was open at the top of the box.
But that was just a lovely ball. If that would have gone in, that would have been probably the best.
The shot. It was a well shaped shot. He did well.
It was just had a little too much height
on his weak foot too.
It was well shaped. He did well to get into position. Just missed the target.
And honestly, if he would have scored that, that would probably be the best goal that we've scored. As far as like from an attacking point of view, but as far as just purely from shot strike goal,
that was the same play from the Dempsey dummy, right?
I don't remember. I don't remember.
I am almost positive that it was.
That's a legitimate excuse for you for a little while.
Yeah, I had the game downloading, but I couldn't wake up this morning to watch it because I was blacked out.
What else?
In case those who don't know, I had surgery on Friday. For my right ankle, and I've been just doped up all week, so...
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, Ben came to watch the game with me, and I slept for most of the first half, so I bring nothing to the
podcast. I'm kind of flattered that you actually recall my presence here, so...
We had a good chat.
We did have a good chat. It was a good time.
You and my family dined together. You guys broke bread together.
Okay, Jesus.
What else? Beasley. Beasley came on, played well.
Very dynamic. Like, it's nice to see Beasley
confident.
Yes. And
I don't like giving Beasley credit.
And not broken. Yeah. And not broken. He was in one piece.
Who broke this Beasley?
Is Beasley not being broken at this point? Pretty much Beasley being broken?
That's true.
And I was also, while I was at the pub, we were talking, it feels like DeMarcus Beasley is 35 years old.
He's ancient.
He's 29.
I know, it's
he
crazy.
He looks like he's 35.
He's...
He looks like he's just been born like
Greg Oden syndrome.
Yeah, he does have the Greg Oden sickness.
So I might too, actually.
What? Oh, yeah, exactly.
It was the same surgery. All right, so back on track.
Anyway, aside from
everyone's
that surgery
looking
thing,
at Rob.
Okay.
Orozco continues to not impress.
Suck balls.
He's just underwhelming.
He nearly undressed one of the Hondurans at the start of the match.
Literally, by stripping him of his shirt.
Oh, that was classic. And Gooch came on and played well.
Gooch missed a sitter. It was a full volley behind him.
Well, I should say a sitter for anyone with offensive skill, which is not Gooch.
The word sitter is overused, kind of like must see.
You're a sitter.
I mean, it was a very difficult shot to make. It was a reaction shot. He hit it behind him, and he's a defender, so... I mean,
even Ryan's drugs talking. He killed a man.
Yeah, Gooch just wiped out that one guy.
Oh, man.
And can crazy. I say that this may have been one of Bocanegra's worst matches?
See,
he was bad.
See, like, when you say Bocanegra's worst matches, I mean, it was bad for him, but was it that bad overall? I mean, it wasn't as consistent and as 100% solid as he normally is, but it wasn't like, he was no Orozco, we can put it that way.
Well, no, and I mean, I think that's why it kind of got a little overlooked, just because Orozco looked worse, and they were playing the same position.
Orozco was ass, and for a second there, we thought that Jurgen made like a good tactical switch, and then you found out only later that
the only reason Orozco came off is because he was injured.
Oh boy,
what did we say? Bruised ego, or I forget what the other ego.
Just he sucks. Based
in, yeah, just.
He broke his gut.
Form is temporary, class is permanent, and he's got none of it.
He broke his gut soccer bone.
He has none of either.
And Jonathan Spector came on.
Had a nice cross.
Yeah, it was
very
a nice cross.
Very nice cross.
I mean, but once again...
Dempsey soared in the air like Jordan back in his prime.
Which apparently just threw the referee off so much.
Must have.
White guys can't jump that high, so it's got to be a foul.
And
that was
again,
ridiculous from Dempsey.
It was
athleticism. I never realized he was that athletic before.
I credit that to Spector, though, because honestly, the cross was absolutely quality. Now, you know, again, got a guy who's right-footed playing left back who had to cut back onto his right foot. Now, it was a good ball that he played in, but, you know, we can talk about having Chandler out on. Yeah. Ryan, no recollection of this?
Nope.
One
more I remember the cross. That's about all I remember.
One more point that I want to get to. Timmy Howard was...
Phenomenal.
He played phenomenal. Very well. He played very well.
Without Howard,
the chances
we might lose that match.
That when Howard retires from the national team, that we will actually get someone as good as him.
Slim to none.
Very slim.
And
we've had an amazing run of luck with keepers.
Yeah, we have.
Like, an amazing... Now, I don't think we'll ever be bad at keeper, but we'll never be...
We're not England.
Yeah, we don't... No, we are not. But I don't think we're going to have a guy of Howard's quality for some time. You know, but we got prospects. Bill Hamid certainly looks the part, as does Sean Johnson. But, you know, there's a big difference between looking
Chris
the part
Seitz
and playing
also,
the part.
Trying to get his name in there.
Shut up.
And I'm the one on drugs.
Ryan McCauley also trying to cement his spot in the U.S. men's national team goalkeeper picture.
By getting injured?
Yeah.
Yes.
So what about Chandler on the left? What did you guys think of that from what you remember for some of us?
Count me out. Like, I don't remember anything. I remember nothing.
There was some good, some bad. He was great going forward. He had a few lapses at the back, though, which I guess could have kind of led to Bocanegra's poor game.
He doesn't look like the smartest guy on the field.
No. It sounds like a lot of these players that we're starting to bring in now just to cap because they're playing in the Bundesliga or another good league don't seem to necessarily have that high IQ but have the great athletic ability. Well, is Ryan McCauley going to rip me a new one?
I was falling asleep.
Yeah. He didn't know what was happening.
I blacked out for a second.
That's good news for me.
What is that?
No, it's my air cast pump.
Is that supposed to keep you awake?
I'm just blowing up my face.
He likes to get blown in the face.
I'm just gonna edit. He likes to, and then just take that out, and just be like blown in the face. Edit. Anyway, I thought that Chandler.
It's his magic spray.
I thought Tim Chandler was solid going forward, but we need a naturally footed left back, yeah. and we didn't have one in camp, which I know was one of your major gripes.
I've been saying this for a long time. I don't like off footed defenders. I don't mind seeing, you know, an off foot winger.
Well, yeah, because they can cut inside, and that's their job is to move towards the goal and get in on net. But with the back four, you have to keep the shape.
Yeah, I don't like the idea of having a left, unless it's Philipp Lahm, which we don't have a Philipp Lahm. So,
is that what Jurgen's trying to find? Is like, why can't we do this? Yes. This is bull.
This isn't the German national team.
Why did I take this job?
We need more Polaks. That's why.
I don't know. I think that Chandler was good going forward. Yeah, he doesn't have a whole lot going on with the left foot, but he did play. He did play a smart match at left back. He was solid.
He definitely wasn't one of the worst players on the field.
He didn't look too awkward, you know, except for having to use predominantly his right foot. He wasn't uncomfortable in possession. He wasn't uncomfortable in his positioning on the field. All in all, you know, if worse comes to worse, I'm okay with seeing him there again.
Going back to striker, Dempsey started at striker, and we
or so they claimed. I mean, or at least I was talking to you, or trying to talk to you while you were in.
I was mumbling like crazy. Yeah.
I don't know if Dempsey ever was really paired with Altidore at the top. I thought that they were playing a 4-2-3-1 the entire time.
I thought Josie, without scoring a goal or getting an assist, played well. He had the ball that Breck didn't put in. We don't need to go over the miss anymore. But it was a great ball in from Altidore.
Altidore probably the best work rate we've seen since the Costa Rica match. Well,
since we're currently shitting on Breck Shea, let's go back a second and give him
I'm just saying the ball in from Altidore was good.
It was an excellent ball.
He needs credit for the assist on Clint's goal.
Oh, it was a great ball. Oh, and a great dummy, too.
Split three backs.
They actually, I hear, gave the assist to Fiscal because he deflected it.
Oh, fuck that.
I'm just saying, we all agreed that was absolute
They gave it to
bullshit.
Fiscal?
I'll check.
Because that was a
Because he had the last touch before it got to Dempsey.
I didn't even know it touched him. I thought he just dummied it. Or you know what? He's so bad he tried to, but then it hit him. Classic Michael Orozco.
Orozco's just got that kind of skill. He just nips it right off his leg and just gets it right to Dempsey.
He's just
don't ask him to defend anyone.
He's just straight up butt.
Michael Bradley was solid when he came on. Also, good observation on your part. Impossible to, from the wide angle when you're watching the entire field.
Tell him apart from Breck Shea.
From Breck Shea.
Yes, exactly.
They look the exact same.
Thing is, one's bald and one is very much not bald. They look the same. It's crazy.
I was with
they must have
Joshua,
like really similar posture or something.
I was with Josh Ahrens watching the match, and he said, "Who's that other blonde guy in the midfield?"
It's Bradley.
Blonde guy. Bald guy. He played well, which is not surprising. In fact, I was surprised to see him not start. I thought that we'd see him over Edu, and I think we'll see that on Tuesday. Against
Ecuador. I don't know, after Adu put in the man of the match performance, apparently.
Well, okay. You keep telling yourself that, Rob.
I don't want to tell myself that. It's just, you know, those Rangers players are just quality.
But anyway, you were talking about Josie. Josie played a solid match, did well. He looked like what I believe informed Josie should look like.
For the record, the assist did go to Orozco Fiscal.
Which is bull. Absolute bull.
Does that bump his play rating up one?
I think it goes down for being a thief.
I wish you weren't such a robber.
But, you know, Josie has boatloads of skill, as we know. And sure, he didn't score a goal. But, yeah, great pass over Touche. Was working hard all night. And, you know, honestly, where he's playing on the field, pretty thankless job at times. In some matches, you're making runs. All you're doing is putting pressure on the defense.
Getting pounded up top.
Pretty much. And he did all of that dirty work, and he did it excellently.
Can we attribute that to him getting more playing time and
absolutely
with Alkmaar?
I think so.
I'd say that's a very, very safe assumption.
I think the most aggressive we've seen him was recently, and then his early days when he was lighting it up with the Red Bulls.
Mm-hmm. All right. So with all of that, Ecuador, who do you guys want to see more of or less of against Ecuador?
I want to see less of Orozco Fiscal.
Shocker.
Would that include starting on Yewu?
I will give it a chance, yeah. I mean, he went a good 45. Let's see if he can go 90.
Would you have Onyewu go with Ream at the back then or with Boca?
I think at this point I want to see him with Boca Negra. Because Ream, I want Ream to play well at the club level first, which he's been struggling.
So. Is Jurgen ever going to cap Ream?
Or Hamid.
Or Hamid for that.
Or
for that
Omar
matter.
Gonzalez.
Or George John.
Or Josh Gatt.
Or Discarude. Or Discarude. Especially Discarude.
Okay, we're getting off topic.
Okay, Ecuador.
I would like to see more Bradley, or just more than, 10 minutes of Bradley?
We didn't see a whole lot of him.
Under this Jurgen system?
Yeah, Bob came in and Mike, sorry. Oh, God.
The drug's talking.
Just say Junior.
The 65th minute.
I think, okay, 11s. I think we see Howard, obviously, in goal. Because
we all agree
I'm pretty sure Jurgen is never going to cap Hamid.
Ever. Taunting him.
Yep, straight up taunting him.
We'll just keep bringing him into camps.
What if he plays Raimondo on Tuesday?
That would be hilarious. Just stick it to Hamid. Well, I mean, Hamid isn't playing against Ecuador. He's back at DC United. They see maybe like they realize as well as Hamid did that, oh, wait, I'm actually not being brought into play.
Time.
Yeah. Okay, now, that's not a waste of time being behind Tim Howard. He's kind of learning.
True.
Did you see the way he played on Saturday?
Kind of.
Yeah. Okay, that's a good point.
It's a little hazy.
Kind of.
Are we going to see Dolo right back again?
Yeah, we're going to see Dolo and Chandler on the ends of the defense. I think we'll see Boca Negra and Onyewu again in the middle.
I agree with that completely.
I think we're going to see a 4-2-3-1, and I hope we see some combination of either Bradley and
I'd like
Beckerman.
To see Bradley and Beckerman in that, too.
Bradley and Beckerman or Bradley and Adu. Point is, Bradley should be on the field. He's been playing well at Chievo. He played well in his 25 minutes.
I'd like to see Beckerman and Williams anchoring with Bradley at the point.
That would also be interesting.
You know what? Yeah. I'd rather see Bradley and Williams anchoring.
Damn you. Now I'm changing my mind.
Because Bradley... Williams is, contrary to Ivis, out pretty much screwing himself for saying that reports were true out of Germany that Williams was headed back and then... only a few minutes later refuting that.
Oops, I was wrong again.
So 4-2-3-1
must
see
mistake.
We have
4-2-3-1
and Dempsey on the sides with Altuor up top.
No. I would like to see I'd like to see us put Clint in the middle again. He played very well there. I mean, he made some good runs. He showed some real bits of skill. Had some nice back heels in there with Williams and Bradley anchoring. Which then, because those guys are two of the most solid players on the U.S. roster right now, allows Clint to move forward more freely. And then you put Beasley and Shea on the wings. Shea on the right wing, obviously his strongest foot is his left, but he still has a good right foot, as we saw from that cross.
Yeah.
And then he can cut inside.
On the right wing, because then he can cut inside. Like
he can cut inside. Beasley
Let's
playing
this guy
well.
His strong foot.
What?
Let's try this one for a second.
Hmm.
Let's give Dolo a rest. Put Chandler on the right and have Beasley play left back.
No. We're not doing that again.
Is anyone curious about seeing Spector
Because
Spector
last time
start?
It happened.
Where?
He kind of plays all over at this point. Because he just played
we
left back for the national
him
team.
We could start for Dolo at right back.
But he's not a defender anymore.
He plays midfield
He plays
now.
Right mid.
I think we'll see him at a variety of places because I'm not even sure Jurgen knows where to play him at this point.
Like I said, just feel he'd be a good right back for Jurgen's system.
I don't think Jurgen knows where players actually play.
I think he's got the general idea down as far as defender.
On the field.
Yeah, somewhere 11 of you run out there.
I have to say, I'm really disappointed that you didn't get to see this while you were fully with it. Because I think he would have enjoyed seeing the way the team played under Jurgensen.
You know what? I would bet we win 3 or 4 nothing if it's not for that god-awful surface in Miami. It was pouring rain. There was a frog on the field.
Yes,
hopping around.
I saw that picture. That was awesome.
It's ridiculous.
So, yeah. So there
fans
was, so
were
there was
chanting,
just,
save the frog.
There was just
yes.
There was just a lot of of water on that field, which may have
so
been a reason,
aqua.
Yeah. So, which may have been a reason why Shea absolutely.
Well, was it really smart
chance.
To play a friendly in Miami at the end of hurricane season?
Fine. What was the final draw, by the way, attendance-wise?
21,000, I believe.
That's it?
We're estimating between...
This is really funny, because
25.
You and I talked about this for a solid 4 or 5 minutes.
Miami wants
Saturday.
An MLS team.
Yeah. Said,
and
no.
Is that really deserving?
No, absolutely not.
No.
And then again, we can point back to the Gold Cup in, what was it, 08? No, 09.
09.
Where they played at Seattle and there was no one there.
Well, it was Haiti.
Yeah.
They had just hosted 3 international matches on the club level.
Also, listen, Jay Heaps was on that roster, okay?
And Jay Heaps is a poor man's my butthole. That guy sucks.
All right. So, 11 for Ecuador. Howard, Chandler, Bocanegra, Edu, Dolo, Bradley, Williams, Dempsey, Shea, Beasley. Is there any reason to believe that Altidore won't start?
No.
There's a reason to second guess Jurgen most times, so.
Oof. A win and he's still going to just bury this job.
Well, I mean, in terms of like what he's going to do with his roster.
Okay, yeah, that's true.
So we've still got the Bob Bradley thing going on where we just don't know who's going to be starting.
Well, granted, we're supposed to be experimenting. That's the idea. We only have 8 more months?
Well, then get more players.
That's true.
Who do you want in? Josh Gatt?
Yep.
Mixed Discarood? Who's that?
George John?
He's nowhere near German enough.
Fact. Okay.
All right. What do you guys think will be score-wise? What do you want out of this?
Well, I want to win.
Okay, well, are you cool with a 1-0 win?
Let's revisit our predictions for the last match. What did Rob say?
This kid said 1-0.
He did.
Do I get, like, some
no.
kind of prize?
No. No, no
high
prize.
Five.
I can take that.
And then I did predict Dempsey scoring, so I got that right at least.
I got a win, right?
High five back. You're a loser.
That's mean spirit.
You still get it. predictions tomorrow. I was thinking about it. We don't often win both friendlies when we play the groups of two. I'm going to say we get a 1-1 draw.
I guess it depends on how Valencia is used by Ecuador.
Oh, so we found an Ecuadorian player. Valencia is Ecuadorian.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Oh, we were talking about that before.
Us?
Remember that?
I often get
that.
Ecuador and Colombia mixed up because the flags are just
similar.
Very similar. Yeah.
Now,
and they're right next to each other.
As a result of that, last time we played one of these teams from South America, Shea shit his pants.
He did.
And
he
was extraordinarily nervous. We played horrible.
Wasn't that Ecuador that we played?
Colombia.
It was Colombia.
It was Colombia.
We played Ecuador back.
Like I just said, I get the countries mixed up.
We played
right
Ecuador
next to each other, same
in
colors.
07 with the Donovan hat trick.
I think we'll see a 3-2 victory. I think we'll give up
that's
2 goals.
That's a lot of goals.
That's a lot of goals.
We've scored a total of 3 under Jurgen.
2.
On Saturday, we would have scored 4 or 5.
Robbie Rogers and Clint Dempsey, the goal scorers under Jurgen.
See, on Saturday, if teams finish,
Brian McCauley is shaking his head.
If teams finish even a few of their chances, it's probably 3-2 U.S. 3-2. If Gooch makes his for some weird reason and Shea doesn't miss, and honestly, Honduras should have scored 1 or 2, and so I think we'll get the same problem on Tuesday, except Ecuador will finish, and I think we'll do a better job of finishing too. So we'll get a few more goals.
Can we get a look up on the weather in New York for tomorrow?
Not as bad as it was in Miami.
Oh,
it won't be
a downpour and windy?
What?
I'm predicting a 2-1 Ecuador victory.
Really?
Yeah.
You're just a pessimist.
I think Valencia is really good at soccer.
You're high.
I am high.
Okay, well, we have everything. Ben's calling a win. I'm calling a draw. Ryan's calling a loss.
What is this? There's a rift in guilt by association football.
That's standard for us, though.
Yeah.
I feel like we generally have a lot of
good things.
Who's the Yank goal scorer?
Similar views.
Yank goal scorers. Who we got?
Shane Altidore.
1-1 draw.
Altidore gets 2. I'm going to
say Bradley scores the goal for us in a start.
I've got Valencia and Bolaños scoring for Ecuador, and then...
the only two Ecuadorian players we can think of.
No. You've got Edison Mendez.
See, not even fair, because he's currently looking at the Wikipedia page.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't Falcao play for Ecuador, or is that Colombia?
I believe he... I thought he was Colombian, or Portuguese.
He's not Ecuadorian, for sure.
He's South American.
Okay. Anyway.
And then the Yank goal scorer, let's go with...
Josh Gatt.
I wish. I'd start him in a second.
Let's give Mo one. He's had two called back. Let's give Mo a goal.
Finally.
Let's give Mo a goal.
All right.
The weather.
Yeah, what do we got weather-wise?
Partly cloudy in the 70s. So, decent.
Good day. Okay, Yanks abroad review. Not a whole lot going on.
Yeah, you know, international break. A lot of Euro qualifiers going on. We did have two goals, though. Once again, Herc Gomez scores another goal.
Shocker. I believe he has the best goals per minute ratio for someone. I forget what the qualifier was, but he scores a goal every 112 minutes.
It's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
You're starting to whip out those random ESPN stats on us now.
Sorry, dude. Didn't mean it.
This guy's hit 3 home runs 8 times on even days in the month of October.
Correct.
I have Buster only.
All right.
The other goal scorer is Bobby Wood, scored for the 18-16 Munich reserve against Bayern Munich. So big day for Bobby.
And what there are three goals you're missing.
Who was the third?
No. You're missing three goals. Jerome Kiesewetter scored 2 goals.
That's right.
I believe it was yesterday in the standard international break friendly where they kind of combined the first team and the reserves against somebody from the 3 Bundesliga. He scored the first and last goals in a 5-0 win. And Sebastian Leggett scored as well. We'll be hearing his name a little bit later.
He will. Other big news. He's
really proud of himself.
Yeah. I one-upped Ryan, which doesn't happen often.
I'm high, so.
won't happen again.
I'm tally right now.
So I had my little Discarude freak out because the roster was not including Discarude.
Yep.
Mix talked to Greg Seltzer over the weekend. And Mix once again said, I want to play for the U.S. and I want to play at the Olympics.
Yep.
So fear not, Mix still wants to play for us.
Thank God.
And Greg, again, great work. You're the man.
Greg, you are the mother.
The other big thing to look at here is Omar Gonzalez.
Some questionable comments.
He was asked about
indeed
his international eligibility and said he would be open to playing for Mexico if called.
Now, by the same token, it might be one for one swap. Joe Benny Corona.
Joe Corona might play for the U.S.
Yep, per Steve Goff, who is a very reliable source.
Or we'll just take both of them.
You know? Yeah, or we'll just take both.
And just flip Mexico the middle finger as we cross back over the border.
I've been flipping them the middle finger since 2010.
'09,
actually.
Oh, a whole year and a half.
Like a Yank.
It's still up. I mean, you can't see it because it's a podcast, but
like
it's still
a red-blooded American.
That's why we have faces built for podcasts.
Correct.
Indeed.
All right. MLS Power Rankings. Moving. Whoa. No segue there.
We're done commenting on Gonzalez?
I don't know if we're done. I think it might just be a warning shot. I think it's a warning shot on his part.
I think it was just him answering a question that was asked of him. He didn't bring it up on its own. Someone asked, would you switch? Yeah, sure, why not? Maybe.
Maybe, yeah.
I think he's trying to pressure Jurgen to...
Especially when Jurgen's bringing in these Latin players,
yeah.
And he's bypassing Gonzalez, who's...
It's just because he doesn't speak Spanish. One of the best.
I don't...
You know I don't speak Spanish.
Baxter.
I don't know why he's not getting called up. I think he's ahead of Ream, if you ask me. He's way ahead of Marshall.
I think Ream and... I would put Ream behind A, Goodson.
Well, I have Goodson 1 overall, so.
Yeah, and B, both George John and Omar Gonzalez, and then maybe you get to Tim Ream.
I think John is sliding because Dallas has been a shit show since the is John leaving thing, and yeah. John's been a big part of that, too.
True. He's got the Kleschen syndrome.
He does.
In a pretty bad way. Okay, do we want to go with the uncapped 23 now because it's a better segue?
We can do that.
All right. Who wants to... Are we going to go goalkeepers, like, around, and then defenders?
We can do that.
Are we good with this?
Yep. We can do that.
Ryan, you want to start us off with some goalkeepers?
No, actually, yeah, because I did the most research. You guys go first.
Dang you.
Well, I just made a starting 11. My goalkeeper is Bill Hamid, but it doesn't look like we'll ever see him play for the U.S. national
team. It's literally impossible.
He'll never play.
No. Nope. Okay. And for my three goalkeepers in my 23, which Ryan can evaluate? Bill Hamid, Matt Pickens, and Zach McMath. Now, I say McMath because he has had a few solid matches for the Union recently. Yeah. Like he's been solid.
He has been a nice part of the Union's resurgence.
I was a little worried about him at the under-20 CONCACAF Championship earlier this year. He was a little shaky. But let's be honest, there aren't that many talented U.S. keepers who haven't been capped. Or in fact, many have been capped once or twice. Mm-hmm. Ryan?
You got guys like Cody Cropper. Might be...
Would you put Cropper ahead of McMath?
Right now, no. But okay. Maybe in a few years. Yeah. Diego Restrepo down in Colombia. My three picks were Bill Hamid, Tally Hall, and Quinton Westberg, he's a veteran.
He's in a bottle of water somewhere over in France.
He's in a bottle of water over in France, but... I think
Westberg is a good call. I forgot about Westberg. Okay, defenders.
Sheen and Williams.
Oh,
my Union bias. I'm just very just saying, high on Sheen. Yeah. And it's really more of an interest to see him cap because he's got a good IQ. He's got great athletic ability, and I mean we're taking guys in who have no IQ. It seems like at the moment, but I digress. Center backs. I have George John.
Standard.
And Zach Whitbread.
Okay.
I'd like to see them capped. And then left back, I have Fabian Johnson.
We almost agree. I've got John and Whitbread in the middle, Johnson on the left, and Williams on the bench for my defense.
So you have Sheen and Williams on there?
On the bench, yep.
Hmm.
Then who do you got?
So I don't feel like a jackass.
All right. My four center backs are Zach Whitbread, George John, Ike Opara, and John Anthony Brooks. For those of you who aren't as familiar with Brooks, I think you'll be hearing about him pretty soon.
You mean Ike Opara?
Ike? Ike?
Ike?
I've heard it both ways.
It's Ike.
It's Ike.
You love to go the...
Ike Broflovski?
Overpronunciate words.
Ike Broflovski?
Don't call me Christopher Sullivan. That's okay. Like ruining my broadcast career already.
Okay, Skellis Heinemann.
All right, continue.
Well, I don't know if I want to continue anymore.
Okay, then I'll go.
Okay. I do want to continue. I lied. Let's see. We got a right back, Kevin Alston.
He's my starter.
Very, very solid choice. And backing him up, Sheenan Williams. And then at left back, we have three different options.
Really now?
Well, I'm going to say Fabian Johnson, even though I have him as a midfielder, because for Hoffenheim, he does play midfield.
He does.
So he's a wing midfielder or a defender. Then also we have Chance Myers.
Right back.
Or left.
Yeah.
He's got good feet. Same goes for Zarek Valentin.
Valentin hasn't been playing, has he really?
Valentin and Sarkodie are the two guys who I was flip-flopping between, but I believe that Valentin's been getting more PT with Chivas.
That's fair. I only have three center backs because one of my center mids also plays center back. I've got George John and Zach Whitbread starting with Dela Garza backing them up. On the right, Alston starting with Williams and Myers backing them up. And on the left, starting is Fabian Johnson, and backing him up is my dark horse for 2014, Sean Cunningham.
Sean Cunningham, good option. One, Pablo Osegundo was also in my thoughts.
Is he really an American, like, sticking with us?
He is an American.
Are you sticking with us, though?
He's never been called up by either side. I believe he got called up. Wait, he might have been in an American under-20... camp in the last, yeah.
Really?
In May when they had that weird quasi U-20, but not
weird.
Really U-20 camp
weird.
With Todd Ramos. I believe Osegundo was in that.
Fair enough. It's a weird-ass camp.
Also, Greg Garza was a guy who I thought played really well at the CONCACAF Under-20 Championship.
What happened to Greg Garza?
He played so well.
Where is he now?
I don't know. He's not with Sporting. He's not with Traffic anymore.
It's a good thing.
Yeah, which is a good thing, but I haven't heard any updates on him.
It's never good to be in
traffic. All right, midfielders. I've got a grand total of eight of them. Luis Gil, the Real Salt Lake wonderkind. Sebastian Leggett, Omobi Okugo, Graham Zusi, Perry Kitchen, Fabian Johnson, Josh Gatt, and Joe Zhao.
It's pretty solid.
Lots of younger guys in there. Joe Zhao still playing with the reserves, but was in first team training during the preseason and apparently just blew the doors off of the first team coaches. Just
crushed kids.
Just absolutely crushed people. And the others, I think everybody knows. Leggett is a youth player, a reserve player at this point for West Ham.
Moving on up.
Who they are pretty excited about. Graham Zusi, I don't think, needs much introduction. Perry Kitchen, rookie playing for DC. Like Perry quite a bit, especially at the defensive midfield position.
He was my defensive mid slash center back guy.
Right. Rob, what do you got?
Rob has Joshua Gatt.
Third person.
Right mid.
Thanks, Rob.
And he also has Louis Gilles and Omobi Okugo sitting in the middle with Eugene Starikov on the left.
Oh, so you're going a little more attacking formation then. Yes. You got a little bit of spunk on the left hand side. Aggressive? A little aggressive?
I've had my little Yergi fix.
There we go.
I want goals, and I want to give up goals.
On my bench, I've got Starikov on the left, Perry Kitchen in the middle, and Giao on the right. I'm playing kind of a 4-2-3-1, kind of.
Got it.
The holding mids, I've got Graham Zusi and Jack Jewsbury.
Jewsbury's never been capped.
Never been capped, I don't think. Let's double check.
I'd like to validate that, because I feel like he's had a BS January camp. Cap.
I don't believe at he ever some got, point. He made the camp, but never got called.
We've got two guys really? Working feverishly on their laptops.
Probably looking at the exact same source.
Never even called into a camp, as far as I can tell.
Wow, Jewsbury. That's so, a good call.
Gentleman Jack has been on the outs here.
Apparently.
So paired with Jewsbury, it's Graham Zusi with Luis Gil up top. On the right is Josh Gatt. And on the left is Chris Pontius.
Pontius is also a good choice. Have to say.
Yeah. And up top, what do you guys got?
Ah, crap. I wish I'd.
I have Pontius. Connor Doyle.
Crap.
Guy who sometimes playing gets on as a Nigel sub. Clough. Sometimes gets on as a sub for Derby. And Joe Corona.
Joe Corona is technically not eligible for this right now.
Joe yeah. Mexican beer.
He's not technically eligible.
Well, I don't care.
Well, is he? Because I don't think he played in an official Mexican national team match.
Wouldn't he need to make the switch, though?
See, no, that's the ambiguity that we're
this is why Rand McCauley wanted me to put him on.
Because we have this ambiguity because Fabian Johnson didn't play, he didn't dress. But then again, then we played Bunbury before he made the switch. I really don't know. There's just a lot. It's an ambiguous thing at this point.
Too much paperwork.
Way too much paperwork. They have to, like, write letters, and, like, your mom has to write a letter or something. I remember Jermaine Jones going through that. Like his mom had to write a letter to FIFA.
It's weird.
Yeah.
Dear FIFA,
let my son play for America. Well, I know that Danny Williams went with his dad to get his passport from the German consulate.
They had the appointment the day
before the match.
Yeah.
Before
when he left for camp. And when he had the amazing, he walked out with a passport. It's pretty cool. Not gonna lie.
Kind of fun.
Forwards. Adrian Ruelas, who is currently on loan at Jaguares, not doing so hot on loan as he was originally hoping.
Another Celtic dick tease that panned out poorly.
Pretty much what it was, but they wanted to sign him, but they couldn't because he can't get the work permit. But I also have Connor Doyle.
As do I.
Plays for Nigel Clough, son of the best manager in England.
I wouldn't say I'm the best manager in England, but I definitely say I'm in the top one.
I like Connor. He played well at the under-20 championships as well.
He's a big lad, too. He's a big lad.
He's a large guy, and he's very versatile.
Good feet, too.
And Bobby Wood. The Hawaiian kid playing at 1860 Munich, they like him a lot over there, and he was getting first team minutes, but they've scored the second most goals in the two Bundesliga, so he's been on the bench or in the 23s until that changes.
Wood makes my bench as well.
And Evgeny Starikov or Eugene Starikov, yeah. makes the grade as well, playing for Tom Tomsk on loan from
Zenit St. Petersburg. Do we think Lev got called up by Jurgen?
Who?
Do you think Jurgen knows that Neil exists?
He knows.
That who exists?
Starkov.
Starkov? I don't think he's made all the way to S in the player pool yet. I think he's I think he's still languishing in the ends of the O's.
Stuck there still.
Yeah. So he doesn't know yet, but he will.
So we'll be getting the... not capping Gonzalez.
That's why Orozco got more chances.
Why?
F. Fiscal. O. Orozco Fiscal. That's why.
Right. He's been stuck on that.
So Gonzalez is out of the picture.
Well, and he has talked to Charles Rankin, who I contemplated putting on this, because he's been playing.
If his knees hold up.
Yeah, if his knees hold up for a season. Yeah.
I've got Doyle and Wood on the bench, along with Steven Lenhart, who I am a huge fan of him. I think he'd be a good fit for a CONCACAF
away qualifier. Huge fan of him for his hair.
Overlapping with the 23s with Lenhart and being in both the hair and the uncapped 23s.
Indeed. And then my starting forward with the uncapped pool is CJ Sapong.
He is American, isn't he?
He's American. And has been playing very, very well.
Rob, I feel bad that you and I clearly have inferior 23s in lineups to a guy who's been on narcotics for a solid 3 days.
I've literally been off this couch for an hour in the last 3 days.
And I'm kind of jealous, and that's kind of sad.
I'm just planted. It's boring as shit, but I learn a lot.
You're becoming a learned man.
It's about damn time.
Your apartment's going to smell of rich mahogany.
This is just our way of getting you nice and, like...
Tenderized?
Tenderized, and then we're just going to throw you in a pot.
That's fucked up, dude.
Yeah. What is this, Hansel and Gretel?
Who... Maybe.
Who's Hansel?
Hansel.
Solo.
I'm not getting this. Edit.
Zoolander. Okay. MLS top five.
Legos.
Is Rob number one, first? Vancouver. Number two, Toronto.
Does Rob want to go first?
Rob can go first because you guys need to copy me for this segment because I'm the bee's knees.
You can't keep up for this third person thing, can you?
I think Rob can.
Number five, we have the Pink Cows. Informally known as New York Red Bulls.
Interesting.
Number four.
Why do they?
This is actually a very, very historic day in the podcast because I have more Eastern Conference teams in than Western Conference.
Shut
teams.
Up. No.
Number four, I have Sporting Kansas City. Number three, I have the Union, who won at Seattle on Saturday 2-0 and now sit 2 points clear in the East. Seattle come in at two. They won the U.S. Open Cup. Really controlled the game against the Fire for 90 minutes. A Fire team that has been playing quite well of late. And number one, I don't care that they lost 2-0 to New York. It's Los Angeles. Donovan didn't play, so it doesn't count. Except for the points.
I hate to be boring, but I have the same top five all the way through. Red Bulls, Sporting KC, Philly, Seattle, LA Galaxy, for pretty much all the reasons you just mentened. Red Bulls.
Other teams are shooting themselves in the foot. Dallas has lost four in a row.
You actually
RSL literally
RSL has
sucks.
Lost four in a row.
You moved them down finally?
Yeah.
You didn't bump up in the spot for losing?
I was hoping for a top two finish. right behind Vancouver for number one.
I was close to putting RSL at five, but honestly, you know, Red Bulls beat the Galaxy, you know, whether or not they had Donovan, you still beat the Galaxy, who are a very, very solid team.
Indeed. I have Dallas at five still, because I don't think...
You're
New
just
York...
holding on to that.
I am.
They have as bad of a record as RSL does in their last
five
games.
This is why...
They dropped every week for me.
This is why I created the MLS Top 5. I thought it would just be a great way for us to just...
Start arguing about something?
To us just get so... fed up with the MLS and the way teams, third and fourth place teams in the Western Conference, have both lost four matches in a row. And they're still 3-4.
That's crazy shit, man. Number four, I've got the Union climbing up.
Dupadelphia.
Three is the inactive Sporting KC. Two is Seattle. Congrats to them for winning their third Open Cup in a row.
Which is crazy.
They should just call it Sounders Cup.
Indeed. And number one is the Supporters Shield champion, LA Galaxy, so congrats to them as well.
Question, why Sporting KC above Philly?
Because I think Casey, if they were to match up head-to-head, Casey would win.
Think so?
I do.
I thought that Freddie Adu played excellent.
Well, we could very well see them matching up at some point in the playoffs.
We could.
Very, very possible to see that kind of thing. All right, we got Wisconsin soccer update.
Real quick, not much happened this week.
Tim Ward's still not playing.
Demerit.
Jay.
A win for Vancouver.
Hooray.
And Jay.
Over a reeling RSL.
Indeed. Jay actually drew a penalty kick and a red card on Colleen Warner?
Yep.
Warner for the handball in the box.
There's a woman playing
for MLS. A very bad call, but a call nevertheless. Let's see who else. Tim Ward not playing still. Quick Marquette U alumni shout out to Matt Podrowski over with Angelome. 3-0 win at Ulster this week. It ties them for first and second division with two games to go. And they're looking very close to a promotion. So congrats to our boy Matt Podrowski. Also, for more U.S. or Wisconsin soccer content, check out WisconsinSoccerCentral.com. Lists all Wisconsin-based professionals, including the women as well. So a lot of the women abroad are also in there. So Wisconsin...
Is Alex Morgan from Wisconsin?
No. WisconsinSoccerCentral.com.
All right. Yanks of the week?
Yank of the week. I've got Freddie Adu with my Yank of the week. Scored a goal and one possession in midfield for the second goal. So Freddie Adu is Yank of the week.
I'm going to go with DeMarcus Beasley. He's back in camp playing well. Glad to see him back and confident, not reeling from the knee injury anymore. And not even only physically, but also the psychological side of it as well. He looks to be back to the old Beasley, who is scary good.
And playing hard, too. He's no longer having challenges.
Exactly.
My Yankee of the week is Tim Howard. If you watch the match, I don't even need to tell you why. So, Tim Howard.
Other than the fact that that first shot that he came out for one-on-one was shot directly into his stomach.
Right into his chest.
Still a beast.
Hard to not agree with that.
Yeah. Well, this has been episode 9.
He pitched a clean sheet with a Roscoe Fiscal starting.
That's true.
Indeed. That's... Episode 9 of GBAF. Next week, I hope to be sober.
Hope to be. Oh, fuck it. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Go Yanks.
Adios.